Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. As we begin this chapter, sin is incurable. It is an incurable, malignant, spiritual cancer that afflicts every single human being that ever lived, with the exception of Jesus Christ. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, "Where will you be stricken again? As you continue in your rebellion, the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of your foot, even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, wounds, and raw wounds, not pressed out, not bandaged, not softened with oil. Sin is rancid, foul, putrid. It distorts, it corrupts, and it infects all who come in contact with it, and it is destined to kill all of us eternally, if not remedied, if we are not healed, as it were, from it. It is not unlike the disease that afflicts the man in our text this morning. We have a leper, but we also have a Savior." And this, of course, is a very real picture of what happens when the sinner seeks the Savior. Follow along as I read our text this morning. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. "Now when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Behold, a leper came to him and was bowing down before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" Let's pray. Father, just be with us now as we look at this. My biggest prayer, as always, Lord, is for anyone among us who might not know you, that they would come to know you, that they might see that they themselves are this leper. And for those of us who have come to Christ, who have seen the beauty and the wonder of Jesus Christ, may we marvel at what you have done for us. And may we always remember what we were in light of what you've done. Forever thankful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We will begin this morning by looking at a man who has absolutely, positively no hope. Much like we did not have any hope prior to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one on earth can help this man. No one on earth wants to help this man. But Jesus does. And so this morning we will begin with the leper, as we should begin with the leper. We're going to describe his condition. We're going to look at his words. We're going to look at his persona. But we will end where we ought to end, and that is with our Savior Jesus Christ, where he finishes this miracle with enormous compassion and love. Look with me, please, this morning at verse 1. "And I've been telling you for months that Jesus was on the hillside in Galilee. He's just preached the Sermon on the Mount, instructing the people of Israel. He has now finished that instruction, and he has come down from that mountain into the local villages that surround the Sea of Galilee. And verse 1 tells us, 'Now when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him.'" It would be natural, I think, for large crowds to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that he was saying and the things that he was doing was amazing. It was unlike anything that had ever been done before, because he himself is unique. The crowds would now follow him for the next 3 years and abandon him in the end, choosing rather to follow a scoundrel by the name of Barabbas, to free him rather than Christ. Many, if not most, of those who are gathered around Jesus Christ are gawkers. They're hoping to see a miracle or two, a sign or two. Some of them are spies, listening and reporting back to the Pharisees and the Sadducees all that they hear Jesus say. Others among them are looking for a free handout, free bread, free fish. But there were a select few, who went to Jesus Christ out of sheer desperation. Because nothing and no one on earth could help them. They had reached the end of themselves, and they didn't know where to turn. So they turned to Jesus. That is who meets Jesus on this day, a person who has reached the absolute end of himself. A leper. Verse 2 says this, "And behold..." Many of your Bibles use the word behold. It's telling us now that something extraordinary is about to happen. Something interesting is about to happen. Something different is about to happen. The text is telling you and I to perk up and pay attention. So we should. Why? Because we are introduced this morning for the first time in the New Testament to a leper. An individual who throughout history has been shunned. A person whom the law of Moses dedicated 2 whole chapters in telling the people of Israel how to deal with this devastating disease. And that's what it is, and that's what it was, certainly in the ancient world. It is a communicable disease, which means that it is a disease that can be transferred from one person to another. It is a disease that can spread to other people through droplets in the air. If they sneeze, you can catch it. If they touch you, you can catch it. Can even be passed on through infected clothing. And while there are varying degrees of leprosy, and I want to make that clear up front, ranging from what we might call mild forms of leprosy or even a sort of skin-type eczema that really wasn't all that bad, this man does not have the lesser kind. This guy has the worst possible leprosy that anyone can have on earth. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, Luke chapter 5, the parallel account, tells me that. Tells us that this leper is literally covered with leprosy, full of leprosy. Head to toe, inside and out, the disease of leprosy has simply ravaged this man's body. As I told you, leprosy in the Bible can refer to any number of ailments. If you go back through Leviticus 13 and 14, there are varying degrees of it, but this man has the worst. And the closest thing we have today is something called lepromatous, described in this way, a severe, multibacillary form of leprosy characterized by widespread, symmetrical skin lesions and systemic involvement resulting from poor cell-mediated immune response to mycobacterial leprae. That's the official designation. It could include the following, quote, skin lesions, a systemic involvement of nerves, skins, mucus, membranes, internal organs are affected, such as the liver, the spleen, the kidneys, the testes, and the eyes. Skin lesions are typically multiple, firm, often appearing on cooler parts of the body like the face, the earlobes, and the extremities, and may include macules, papules, plaques, and nodules. Sounds horrible. The progression of such a disease is given by the author L.S. Huizenga, in his book, Unclean, Unclean, and I will read this to you. Here's a quote. The disease which we now call leprosy generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Soon the skin in such spots loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. As the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and ears, begins to bunch with deep furrows between the swelling so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. Fingers drop off or are absorbed. And I wanted you to see the extent to which it can affect a human being and understand and know that this particular individual is full of leprosy. In ancient times, it was the worst possible scourge that you could get. Just the word alone shocked the community and struck fear into the community, and it still does today. It's not called leprosy today, it's called something different because of the stigma attached to the word. You can only imagine the hideous form that presented itself to Jesus Christ on this day. You can see the crowds part as he tries to make his way to the Lord Jesus Christ, drawing back from him in horror, giving him, of course, wide berth. And note that, please, in our text, Jesus does not come to the leper. He doesn't have to. Why? The leper comes to Jesus. That's the first thing I want to point out to you in this text. The leper comes to Jesus. He seeks Jesus. He pursues Jesus. Despite his condition, despite his shame, he recognizes his own need. He sees his own condition. He knows he has no hope in saving himself. Can't heal himself. He would have pursued every single doctor of the day, those that would see him, and walked away unhelped, destitute, hopeless. He knows there's no cure. And he knows that he's going to stay in this condition until the day he dies. And the thing about leprosy is every single passing moment, every single passing hour, every single passing day, you get worse and worse and worse and worse. But Jesus. But God, being rich in mercy, he goes to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. He says to himself, if I could but get to Jesus Christ, I know I would be healed. He's my only hope. And again, this is a beautiful picture of salvation. And here is the first mark of the truly penitent. They see their own sinfulness. They know that there's no cure. They've tried everything to rid themselves of the guilt. But nothing works. Nothing takes it away. The stain of guilt, the disease of guilt, the disease of sin sticks to us in the same way it stuck to the leper. But there is Jesus Christ. The leper knows he's dirty. He knows he's plagued with envy. He reaches out to Jesus Christ so that he might be saved. Takes that chance, folks. Endures the scoffing of the crowd. He doesn't care. He's reached a point in his life where he's tried everything, and now he's turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus never lets you down. Ever. Just wants to get to Jesus. I've been there, have you? Behold, a leper came to him and was bowing down before him. What does he do when he gets to the Lord Jesus Christ? He bows down. Luke tells us that he falls with his face to the earth. He prostrates himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows Jesus reverence. He shows his own humility. He shows his own desperation. An act like this in the ancient world expressed an attitude of complete dependence to the one you bow down to, suggesting to us complete submission to a figure in high authority, number one. So not only does he recognize his condition, he goes to Jesus. And when he gets there, he simply does what? He drops to his knees and he bows and he worships Jesus. And the first words out of his mouth are what? Lord, you know this is genuine. This word can be used of a slave approaching his master, showing possession, showing ownership. This word can also be used when you're recognizing someone of a higher position than you. But I think when you couple all of this together, the bowing down, the calling of him, Lord, and knowing that Jesus has the power to save, I think this has the third meaning of kurios, and that is, Lord, my God. The leper knows that Jesus Christ is Lord here. Behold, a leper came to him and was bowing down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. I have no doubt that you can do what no one else can do. I have no doubt that you have the power no one else has. And I submit myself to you. And he says, if you are willing, know that. What a statement. He's recognizing that it's not up to him. It's not up to me to save myself. I can't save myself. But he knows that Jesus has the power. But the question is, does he have the desire to save me? Does he have the desire to heal me? I'm so wretched, so filled with this disease that maybe Jesus will not be willing. Saying perhaps to himself, who would want to heal someone like me? Is this not a picture of us before we come to Christ, when we do come to Christ? Casting ourselves before him and just saying, Lord, I am unworthy. It's like the tax collector beating his chest. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. I don't know a single Christian that came to Jesus Christ thinking they were worthy of salvation. Not one. What do? We simply cast ourselves at his mercy and his grace at his feet. Just like this leper does. He knew Jesus could. He just didn't know he would. If he would. And again, here we have the marks of true salvation. Wrapped up in this picture of the leper coming to Jesus Christ. First, the leper sees his hopeless condition. He recognizes it. He knows he has no hope. He knows there's no earthly cure for all that ails him. The sin that plagues us sticks to us. The sin that makes us cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Secondly, he comes to Jesus. He seeks Jesus. He knows that Jesus is more than a good teacher. He knows that Jesus is more than a good prophet. He casts himself humbly at the feet of Jesus Christ to save him, pleading, begging. And third, he recognizes Christ's power and his own unworthiness, and he pleads for something he knows he does not deserve. He calls out for grace to be healed. Oh, what a great example of faith and trust. The Talmud, which is the Jewish commentary on the law, not inspired, forbade a Jew from coming closer than 6 feet to a leper. You couldn't come within 6 feet of a leper, according to the Talmud. And if the wind was blowing, that changed. According to the Talmud, if the wind was blowing, you had to stay 150 feet from a leper. One rabbi states that when he saw a leper, you know what he would do? He says, I would throw rocks at them so they wouldn't come near to me. Among the 61 defilements of ancient Judaism, and I'm quoting, leprosy was second only to a dead body in seriousness. And there are many people who believe that if you had leprosy, you were actually cursed by God himself. Cursed. In light of all of that, how does Jesus, our Savior, respond? He doesn't say, whoa, stop right there, big fella. Back up. Doesn't say that. Mind you, again, this is a communicable disease. You can catch this. And it's incurable, at least in the ancient world it was. But what does Jesus do? The depth of this, folks. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. He could have healed him from a distance. Oh, stop there, Mr. Leper. I'll heal you from here. In fact, that's the very next miracle he does. He does from a distance. With the centurion's servant. But Jesus doesn't do that here, does he? You have to ask yourself the question, why? Oh, Christ is on display here. Did you know that virtually every animal on earth responds to touch? If you've developed a sense of trust with them. I used to hate cats. I love cats now. My cat comes in. What's the first thing he does? Rubs right up against my leg. And I'm like, hey, and I reach down and I rub his face. And he rubs my hand. He'll even come up and rub your face. And then he starts to purr. And I marvel at that. The touch can have such an amazing effect on someone. Dogs are another thing. I love dogs too, but dogs are like, dogs, they want all in. They'll come running in and jump on your lap. Lick you to death. I love dogs too. There's something about a tender touch, even among animals, folks. How much more among human beings? Can you think of a better way to heal this man? This outcast, if you will. To do what no one else on the world or in the world would do. Not even the leper's own family would do this, folks. They wouldn't touch him. But Jesus does. And I believe the touch of Jesus Christ in this text goes way beyond healing. There's something more necessary for the leper, I think. Jesus here is specifically ministering to the heart of this man. Do you have any idea what this would have meant to the leper? That someone would touch him? The flood of emotions that would have come into his heart, that would have filled his heart. According to the law, for the protection of the people, which was important, because this was a horrifying disease. But according to the law, and I had this read to you, he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. Alone. Where do you, they send you to jail, that's bad enough. Where do they put you in jail if they really want to punish you? Solitary confinement. Why? Because it has such a devastating effect on someone. Of course, this was for the good of the people. I don't want to say the law was wrong or the law was bad. You don't want to spread this. But we're looking at the individual here. He shall live alone. His place of habitation, his house, shall be outside the camp, away from the people, not near anybody. This man had to have been one of the loneliest men on earth. Starved for companionship, and that someone would love him enough, so much, not just to heal him, but to touch him in doing it. Oh, the wonder and the beauty and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Full of compassion. In fact, Luke tells us that. He had compassion for him. Jesus is so compassionate. According to the law, anyone touching a leper was considered unclean. But Jesus isn't just anyone, is he? He's the Son of God, God the Son. He makes the unclean clean. Purified at a touch. It reminds me of Peter, when God speaks to Peter, and Peter's like, no, Lord, I'm not going to eat that. That stuff's unclean. Do you remember what God says? What God has cleansed, no longer consider defiled. God has cleansed this leper. He is no longer defiled. Behold, verses 2 and 3. The leper came to him, was bowing down before him, and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus stretches out his hand and touches him and says, what does he say? I'm willing. Be cleansed. I love the I'm willing part. I want to. It's something that I desire to do. We've seen the leper. We've seen the leper in all his wretchedness come to the Savior. Now we see the Savior in his tenderness, his compassion. But more, we see that Jesus Christ is willing. I am willing. I want to heal you. I want to save you. There's no reluctance on his part. There's no hesitation on his part. You know, oftentimes when I've talked to certain people, like, the Lord will reject me. The Lord will not reject you. I've sinned too many sins. No, you haven't. He loves you and he wants to forgive you. But you got to come to him. No hesitation on the part of Jesus Christ, not only to touch, but to heal. And the crowd is looking on. They're mesmerized by this. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is what the Lord wants. When you come to Jesus Christ, there's an eagerness to heal, and an eagerness and a willingness to save. And do we not see that about Jesus? Over in Matthew 11, first words, what are they? Come to me. It's the call of God upon you to come to him. All who are weary and heavy laden, you've tried everything, you've been everywhere, weighed down by the law is really where Jesus was going in this. You're trying to spin. You're like a gerbil on the wheel, spinning and spinning and spinning, and you know you can't keep the law. And so you become exasperated. And Jesus is saying, listen, come to me. Why? All who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Eternal rest, eternal peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. I'm never, ever going to hurt you. And not you might, but you will find rest for your souls, your inner being. Christ does this. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, unlike the law, is light. No empty promises, no trick endings. no gotchas in salvation, and no partial completions. And in an instant, notice this, the miracle takes place in an instant. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Didn't take 7 weeks. Instantaneous. I like how he says, I am willing, and then he says, be cleansed. That kind of reminds me of the very beginning in the book of Genesis. Let there be light. Be cleansed. Done. You remember the pictures that I showed you? This healing, perhaps more than any other, would have been the most startling to behold by the people. The most pronounced to behold. Simply because of the deformity of the leper. And the second that Jesus heals him, you can just hear a gasp among the crowd. Whoa. The once hideously deformed individual now stands before the crowd completely whole, healed of everything. Sores are gone. Fingers and toes are now restored. His skin glistens. Every bump, scale, and contortion and disfigurement now has been undone by He who created the universe. Jesus Christ. Such is the power of Christ and such is the love and compassion of Christ that He would do it in such a way. Amazing. Again, a picture of our salvation in the moment that we are saved. In an instant, we are cleansed of all defilement. Every hideous sin is forgiven. Every sin and wretched deformity is cleansed and made right before God. All by a touch, as it were, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the wonder and the beauty of salvation in Christ. No longer to live outside the camp. You are, as Scripture says, brought near to God. And more than that, brought into the family of God. God now adopts you into His family and calls you His child. Amazing. Jesus is the only way, folks. So now, as we'll look at verse 4, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one. I don't want you to tell anybody about this miracle. How on earth anyone could keep that promise? It's beyond me. Yo, Johnny, what happened to you? Nothing. I think the guy can be given a little bit of grace if he told some people. See that you tell no one, Jesus says, but go and show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. What's Jesus saying here? Listen, now go and do what the law of Moses commands you to do. Don't break the law. Fulfill the law and do what the law tells you to. Go to the priest, show them that you're healed. And once again, dear friend, be restored to your community and to your family. Beautiful. To God be the glory, right? Why does Jesus tell him not to tell anyone? This isn't the first time he will say that. I think primarily it's because it was early in Jesus' ministry. You remember when they took him, they tried to make him king, and he had to disappear, right? He's trying to avoid that at the beginning of his ministry. He doesn't want to really arouse the crowds too much. When the crowd gets into a frenzy, they can do some crazy stuff. If the word spreads too quickly, it could make it far more difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ to minister in the major cities, which inevitably ends up happening, because once word gets out, it makes it tough. But that's the first reason, right? The second reason, I believe, the priests, without knowing that it was Jesus, would confirm that a true miracle had happened This then would lend further credibility to Christ and his message, right? If they had known it was Jesus, when he walks in, he says, yeah, look what Jesus did. The priests, at least later on, less likely, they'd be like, well, we don't want to tell anyone that Jesus did this, because of course they would end up turning against him. So all of that is kind of summed up in the reason why Jesus told him not to tell anyone. Didn't want to stir up the crowds, but also wanted to make sure that the priest would confirm the miracle without, as of yet, knowing that it was him who confirmed it. Once they confirm it, they find out it's Jesus, they can't retract what they said. Does that make sense? So we see the leper in our text. He sees and knows his own wretched condition. He sees himself as unworthy. But he does all that he can do to get to Jesus Christ. He bows down to him. He calls him Lord. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, he recognizes Jesus' sovereignty, his power, his strength. He recognizes his own unworthiness. And of course, Jesus, on full display, not only heals him fully, but does it with a touch, the compassion of Jesus Christ. Rather than cast him aside as unclean, he heals him fully and totally, saying, I am willing. And he is. He is willing. If you don't know him this morning, he is willing to forgive you as well. To the lowly and the hopeless, the castaway and the outcast, doesn't matter who you've done, who you are or what you've done, Christ Jesus is willing to forgive you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this picture. Thank you even for the wretchedness of the leper, for it shows us how willing you are to cleanse those who are stained with such things. And how much worse is it, Lord, for those of us who are stained with sin without someone to save us. But we thank you, Almighty Father. We just come before you and thank you. And we know, Lord, that we were that leper spiritually prior to Jesus Christ saving us. We did indeed cast ourselves at your feet, recognizing that we cannot save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. You must do it. And so you have, by your own grace, for you are truly full of compassion and love. Let us sing now this last song in homage to you, Almighty God, for you are worthy of our worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.